Please find 1 Kings chapter 1 tonight, 1 Kings chapter 1. And tonight we're taking another step forward in this series, The Story Behind the Stories. And of course, you know by the word stories, you know by now I'm referring to the stories of the Old Testament. And I think most of you know that by the word story, I'm referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you that you cannot adequately interpret the stories of the Old Testament if you do not look for the Lord Jesus. And so these summer Sunday evenings, that's harder to say than I thought it would be, these summer Sunday evenings, we have been looking at our Old Testament stories and we have been attempting to connect them with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that you have found some sense of blessing as we have done this. We have a hymn that we sing from time to time, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus." And I say to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, we should always be thrilled to hear about the Lord Jesus. We should always be thrilled to sing about the Lord Jesus. We should be thrilled by Jesus. And if tonight you're sitting here and saying, well, I'm not as thrilled by Jesus as I once was, not as thrilled as I should be, then I would say to you that you need to find a place where you can get alone with the Lord and ask Him to bring the thrill back. Bring back the thrill of the Lord Jesus. And I hope that the Lord will be pleased to use these messages to help us recover something of the thrill that we have had in times past. Now, tonight we meet a very unpleasant, nasty fellow. His name is Adonijah. Adonijah was one of King David's many sons. You perhaps remember the name Absalom. You remember how that Absalom decided that he wanted to be king instead of his father. Yes, he was also one of David's sons. And you remember how Absalom gathered a following. And that following was so great that it looked for a while as if Absalom was going to unseat his father David from the throne of Israel. But Absalom, you can see why I would say this, got what he deserved. He had this thick head of hair. This always does me good whenever I read about Absalom. I think this he deserved every bit of this. He was riding along on his mule, and there were some low-hanging branches, and he got that thick hair caught in those branches. Ha ha. That could not happen to me. So I take great delight in Absalom getting caught by the head of his hair. The hair of his head, and I thank God that this is something that I never have to worry about. Well, Adonijah did not learn anything from his brother's bad example. And so we find here in 1 Kings chapter 1, Adonijah trying to pull something similar to what his brother Absalom had tried to pull. It's a little bit different. Absalom tried to unseat his father David, but David is now coming down to the end of his life. David had been a great man of God, but he's coming down to the end of life's journey. Let us be reminded that we've all got an appointment with death if the Lord Jesus Christ does not come while we're living. And no matter how close we may live to the Lord, we're not going to avoid that appointment. We're not going to escape that appointment. So David's coming down to death's door. He's about to step off the human stage. And Adonijah sees an opening here. He says, my father will soon be dead. I'm going to make an attempt to be his successor. I'm going to try to take the throne of Israel. And so this is what we have going on here. And I should tell you that this was not God's will for Adonijah to be king. So now if you have found 1 Kings chapter 1, look with me at some of the verses in this long chapter. We'll not read all of them. Verses 5 and 6. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen, and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not rebuked him at any time by saying, "Why have you done so?" He was also very much like your pastor in that he was good looking. And we're told that his mother had borne him after Absalom. So he is Absalom's younger brother. Now, go to verses 23 and 24. So they told the king, saying, "Here is Nathan the prophet." And when he came in before the king, he bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, he's speaking here to King David. He says, "My Lord, O king, have you said, 'Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne?'" Of course, Nathan knew the answer to that question. David had said no such thing. This was Adonijah trying to do something that had not been sanctioned by his father David. Now go down to verses 32 through 34. And King David said, "Call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada." So they came before the king. The king also said to them, "Take with you the servants of your Lord, and have Solomon, my son, ride on my own mule, and take him down to Gihon. There let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel, and blow the horn and say, 'Long live King Solomon.'" And then verse 50. Now, Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, so he arose, Adonijah did, and went and took hold of the horns of the altar. And so these are some of the verses in this chapter, and these verses of chapter 1 report to us this futile attempt on the part of Adonijah to be his father's successor. Now, I want to divide the message for you into four parts tonight. I want to ask you to think with me, first of all, about a declaration. And then secondly, I'm going to ask you to think with me about defiance. A declaration and then defiance. And thirdly, I'll ask you to think about the defeat that takes place here. We've got three D words. We've got declaration, defiance, and defeat. And then we need another D word to make this complete. So I want to close the message by talking about a deduction. A deduction. A logical deduction, if you please, from what we put in place here this evening. Now, here is the declaration. And by the way, I want to draw a line from each one of these four elements. All four elements are in this story about Adonijah. The declaration is here. The defiance is here. The defeat is here. And there is a deduction here. And I want to draw a line from each of those four elements in this story to our own time and to our own souls. So let's begin with the declaration. And I want to just call your attention to the fact that David had determined that Solomon would be his successor. David, as I said a moment ago, was coming down to the end of his life's journey. When we come here to 1 Kings chapter 1, we find that David is very weak. He's very feeble. And he's about to step off the stage of human history. But David has made the determination, and he has made the declaration that Solomon would be his successor. I tell you, my friends, the fact that Solomon was designated as David's successor teaches us to rejoice in the greatness of God's grace. Because you remember how Solomon happened to come into this world. It was through a terrible, terrible thing that King David did. If you have followed David through the early years of his life, you would never have guessed that David would be capable of doing such a thing. But the Bible reports the sad and sordid and sorrowful details of David lusting after Bathsheba and committing immorality with her. And Solomon was conceived through that act of immorality. But don't you rejoice in knowing that God's grace is greater than our sins. And here we find Solomon is designated as David's successor. And let me add that this was not just David's choice, this was also God's will. Aren't you glad to know that God's grace is greater than your sin? You may be sitting here tonight with a heavy sense of guilt. I've often said that the devil has a long memory. And if you let him, he'll make sure that you have a long memory as well. You know about this, don't you? You know how the devil loves to resurrect old sins and how he loves to say, back there 20 years ago, back there 15 years ago, back there 30 years ago, 10 years ago, you did this terrible thing, and here you are now trying to serve the Lord. Who do you think you are anyway? David had done a terrible thing. But God's grace was greater than his sin, and God willed what David had declared, that Solomon should be David's successor. So I just throw that in. I trust that'll do that old heart of yours some good tonight. If you can just go out of here rejoicing in the fact that God's grace is greater than your sin, and it's greater than my sin. We sing a song about that, grace greater than our sin, and thank God it's true. It's true. Now, this was the declaration then, and I am trying to connect all of this with ourselves and trying to connect it with the Lord Jesus Christ, because after all, this series has the title, The Story Behind the Stories, and the Lord Jesus Christ, as I have already said, is the story behind this story. May I simply say to you, that God has also made a declaration regarding this business of being king. May I simply say to you that God has already declared that the Lord Jesus is going to rule and reign over all. I find over there in Philippians chapter 2 that there's a blessed day coming when every knee is going to bow before King Jesus. And every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I find in Colossians chapter 1 that God has determined that Jesus Christ shall have preeminence. And my, how thrilling it is to read excerpts from the book of Revelation and find the Lord Jesus ruling and reigning. Well, this is God's declaration regarding King Jesus. David had made a declaration regarding Solomon. David had said, Solomon is to be my successor. He is to be king. And God has made a declaration regarding King Jesus. Now that brings us to the second part of the message, which is defiance. What we have here in Adonijah then is brazen defiance of his father's will, and brazen defiance of God's will. Adonijah had no thought about his father. He had no thought about God. He couldn't think about his father and what he wanted. He couldn't think about what God about God and what he wanted, because Adonijah's head was already full. It was full of himself. Why, we read there in verse 5 where Adonijah exalted himself, saying, I will be king. So you have in place now David's declaration regarding Solomon, and that declaration was God's will. And you have here now Adonijah defying that declaration. You have Adonijah saying, I'm not going to submit. I'm not going to accept my father's will. He had every reason to believe, knowing his father as he did, that his father's will was also God's will. And in rebelling here against his father's will, he was rebelling against God's will. But it didn't mean anything to Adonijah. He didn't care about his father, and he didn't care about God. All he cared about was Adonijah. And so he begins to put in place this elaborate scheme. He begins to gather people to himself, and he's going to make his play. He's going to be the successor of his father. He's going to go around his father's will, and he's going to go around Solomon here as David's successor, and he's going to be king. This is open, this is flagrant defiance. And now I'm ready to talk about this declaration that God has made. I said that David had made a declaration regarding King Solomon, and so he has. And I said that God has made a declaration regarding Jesus, and so he has. But just as we see here in this passage defiance on the part of Adonijah, so we see defiance today toward Jesus. Have you not seen that defiance right here in our own society? Some of you may be saying now, well, Pastor, you keep harping on this, and I'm getting a little weary of hearing about the anti-Christian mentality in this society. Well, all I can say is just brace yourself. You're going to be hearing more about it, because it is intensifying, and we are very foolish if we don't take note of it. There is a defiance toward God, and there's a defiance toward Jesus in this society of ours. And just as Adonijah said here in 1 Kings chapter 1, I am not going to submit. So we find people today saying about God and saying about God's Word, no, I'm not going to submit. I'm not going to accept God's declaration regarding His Son, Jesus. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to accept Jesus as my Lord. I'm not going to accept Him as my Savior. And so, just as there was defiance in place here in 1 Kings chapter 1, so we see defiance today regarding Jesus. Now, that brings us to the third part of the sermon, which is defeat. We find, as the word got around, David got to David's close and trusted friends about what Adonijah was doing. We find that they began to spring into action. Bathsheba learns about this. Solomon's mother. And she takes action. And Nathan, the prophet, comes on the scene. And he takes action. And he goes to David. And as we read, Nathan said to David, have you indeed decided that Adonijah should be king? And he knew, of course, that David had decided no such thing. And we have to admire Nathan here, and we have to admire Bathsheba here, because they both take action, decisive action, in this situation in which Adonijah was trying to take the throne. My, how many times in history, how many times have good things come about because someone understood, some Christian somewhere understood that he was in a strategic position, and if he would just stand for God in that position, he was at a pivotal juncture, and if he would just stand for God at that pivotal juncture, that enormous blessings could come about. I think of the series we're engaged in on Sunday mornings right now, the series on the life of Daniel. Here Daniel was in Babylon. Daniel could have said, why, I'm down here in Babylon. No one is going to know how I'm living. I could live like the Babylonians and no one will be any wiser. But Daniel understood that he was in a strategic position. And he lived for God. I think of what Mordecai said over there in the book of Esther to Esther. You remember what he said? Who knows but what you, Esther, have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. He said, Esther, you're in a strategic position here. And God has put you in this strategic position. That's essentially what Mordecai said. God has put you in this strategic position so that you can stand at this time and be a blessing. And we could go on and on. We could go even beyond the pages of the Bible and talk about a man like Martin Luther who was in a strategic position, and he used that for the honor of God. Oh, how we need people today who are possessed of the same spirit that possessed Nathan. Nathan was willing to stand and to be used of God. And so he comes here to King David, and he lets David know about what Adonijah is doing. And David, even though he's weak and failing, also springs into action, and he puts in place a plan that will go ahead and install Solomon as king even before he, David, dies. And David here makes sure that Solomon is anointed as king even before his own death. And what happens to Adonijah? Well, we're dealing with this element of defeat now. And you go back there to verse 50, and you find Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, so he arose and he took hold of the horns of the altar, and hoping in doing so that Solomon would spare him. Well, Solomon did spare him for a while, but whenever you get into chapter 2, beginning with verse 13 and going through verse 25, you find that Solomon saw in Adonijah even more evidence of this rebellious spirit. And so he, Solomon, had Adonijah put to death. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that just as we find defeat in this story, defeat for Adonijah, there is looming ahead of every individual who rejects King Jesus. There is looming out there in the future. Horrible defeat indeed. And the Bible is very plain about this. And the Bible is very emphatic about it. And the Bible doesn't mince words. The Bible says to you that if you go marching through this life, thumbing your nose at God's declaration that Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign over all, if you go through this life living that way, if you go through life rebelling against God and Jesus and God's plan of salvation through Jesus, the most dreadful defeat imaginable is awaiting you out there. Now, I know it's not popular these days for preachers to talk like this, but I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You want me to do that, don't you? The Bible says that there is such a place as hell. And the Bible says that that is the destiny of all of those who refuse to bow before King Jesus. That's the destiny. And Jesus himself had so very much to say about this dreadful, dreadful destiny that the Bible calls hell. Jesus said it's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said it's a place of utter darkness. Jesus said it's a place of unquenchable fire. Now, I don't know as much about hell as I would like to know. I'm curious about it. But I know enough about it to know that I don't want any part of it. I've talked with people down through the years about what the Bible says about hell. And it seems today to be something of a joke among people. I've had people say to me, "Well, yeah, I know I'm going to hell, but I'm kind of looking forward to it. That's where all my friends will be, and we'll just party. We'll just have a big party there." How do you party in the blackest darkness imaginable? How do you party in unquenchable fire? And this is what Jesus tells us. And oh, the doom awaiting people. Now, I want to say to you, church, we need to get over being shy these days about this matter of hell. It's the most awesome and sobering reality that we find in Scripture. And one reason the churches are empty today is because we have refused to preach to people the truth about their sins, and the truth about coming judgment, and the truth about eternity in hell. Most people are not in church today because they're not afraid of anything. They feel like that they're perfectly fine. They can live any way they want. And then they can go out into eternity and not have anything to worry about. Oh, Jesus said, fear Him who has the power to cast you into hell. You can find that in Luke chapter 12. So I'm asking you to, when you think here about the defeat of Adonijah, Adonijah lost his life. But I'm asking you to think about what the sinner is destined to lose. Adonijah lost his life because he rebelled against King David and King Solomon. But the sinner is destined to lose his soul in hell because of his rebellion against King Jesus. So I'm ready now to come to my fourth and final point, which is the deduction. The deduction. What are we to learn from this? What should Adonijah have deduced in his situation? Well, Adonijah should have deduced from what he knew about God and what he knew about his father David and what he knew about his brother Absalom. Adonijah should have deduced this. It is folly to rebel against my father, and it's folly to rebel against my father's wishes. And it's even greater folly to rebel against God's will. But Adonijah didn't deduce this, did he? He charged madly ahead because he refused to come to the conclusion that he should have reached. Well, I want to say a word to all of us tonight about what we should deduce regarding King Jesus. God has put this declaration in place. God has said Jesus is going to rule and reign. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. But we see defiance everywhere. People saying, I refuse to bow. And my friends, I have said that all who refuse to bow to King Jesus are facing the worst kind of defeat in hell. And so my plea to anyone who's living in rebellion against Jesus tonight is make the proper deduction. Draw the proper conclusion. I think what I'm saying tonight is laid out very clearly in Psalm 2. And you might just turn there as we bring our message to a conclusion tonight. And look at Psalm 2, the opening words. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. The psalm begins with turmoil. People are raging. They're in a fever. And what are they all upset about? Well, Psalm 2 tells us there in verse 2 that this is all due to the Lord and His anointed. They are people of the earth are coming together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Jackson is full of people tonight who are essentially saying this to God. They're essentially saying of God, let us break His bonds in pieces. We don't want God binding us. Let us cast away His cords from us. We don't want God leading us. I tell you that what's pictured here in this psalm is very prevalent in our own community. And how does God respond to this? Is God in panic tonight in heaven? Is God looking down on the rebellion in Jackson, Tennessee, and saying, oh dear, what are we going to do? People down there don't like us very much. Is that what He's saying to the angels in heaven? No, look at verse 4. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. God is not threatened by your rejection of Him. God's not threatened by it. People who are sneering at God and mocking God and ridiculing God, people who are parading around, spouting off their opinions about God and spewing out their venom toward God, they're not concerning God. They're not threatening God. They're not frightening God. God sees little man strutting around in his pride, and God laughs. God laughs. What a sobering word this is. And as we read further here, we find that God has already appointed His anointed, and He will not be disappointed. Did you get that? God has already appointed His anointed. He has appointed the Lord Jesus Christ as King over all, and God's plan is not going to be thwarted. It's not going to be disappointed. And so the psalm comes to a conclusion there in verses 10 through 12. And here's the deduction. If you can't defeat King Jesus, what should you do? Well, listen to these words in verses 11 and following. Verses 11 and 12. Serve the Lord with fear. You can't defeat Him, so serve Him. Rejoice with trembling. Oh, if you would learn to tremble before God, you would find that in trembling before God, there is true joy and true happiness. Rejoice with trembling. And look at verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in Him. Since you can't defeat God's plan to anoint King Jesus, the only wise course is to receive King Jesus. And God's people said, let's bow together for prayer. Father, thank You for reminding us from this ancient episode that we have noted tonight. Thank You, Father, for reminding us that You have made Your declaration concerning Jesus. And we can defy that declaration if we want, but if we do, we're headed to utter defeat. And so help us, Father, not to defy Your decision about Jesus, but help us to embrace it. Help us, O God, to kiss the Son, receiving Him with true affection. We pray in His name. Amen.